Hello, my name is Gonzalo Veloz, also known as Gons. I am a creative professional, so I do video production and other creative things for a company called Alice, but also I am a freelance creative director, focusing on B2B and SaaS companies. That it's kind of been the area and the industry that I've been focusing the past couple of years. And I'm super happy I got invited to this.
I'm super happy because I met you through an organization that we both care about, which is Mass Challenge. And I watched you, I mean, I did all the marketing for Mass Challenge from day one. And then when you came in, you were doing so many amazing creative things. And I just like absolutely fell in love with this. And then you went away and then you started creating this entire massive world. And so I wanted to learn about you. Like, where did you come from? How did you start? How was the creative aspect ready for, like, what triggered you to create your essence of capturing people's stories?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Venezuela. I moved to the US in 2015 because of the situation in Venezuela. It's very complicated. And like always, I have been surrounded by creativity growing up. My father, he is a voiceover artist, TV producer. Like, he has been in the industry for a while. Both my grandfathers, one of them had like a TV channel like many, many years ago before I was even alive. And the other one was a madman, was like an advertising executive in like the 40s and 50s. So it was always like, I feel that it was kind of like bound to happen. And then I stumbled around college. It was like never, like I didn't do well. Like I dropped out because I was not doing well. And then kind of I got a job through a relative that he had a company. He hired me to like do some social media stuff because I was like very active in social media when I was younger and still. And then I kind of like jump into like, you know, one time I had to do a video and I decided that I was going to try and do it. And then it was just like years of like studying the craft. Like I would like take courses and like try to like learn stuff and like ask people and like just always trying to absorb information. But I think for me, the most important part, regardless of like what I'm doing, is like that I have always wanted like to do it in my own terms. Mm-hmm. So throughout like the time when I moved to the US and I started working with companies and I got into like the tech, like startup industry, it was kind of like at the beginning, I didn't understand what it was about. It was just kind of like, I'm working for a company. They're paying me a salary. I'm just going to do my thing the best way that I can. And then with time, I started kind of like understanding a little bit of like more of like the nuances of what the industry is about. But I still wanted to like keep doing my thing because like that's, I think, the most important thing. Like, and I always say, especially lately, that I like to help companies and brands, especially B2B and SaaS brands, to leave behind the SaaS blue, like visual, like the video testimonial that everybody does. And I want to challenge brands and companies to do more stuff. Mm-hmm. And I have tried to use that platform to be also an advocate for like other creatives that want to kind of like do the same thing. So I don't know, I ranted a little bit, but that's kind of like a bit of the journey.
No, I was going to say the journey is really, really good because I mean, it's, and I say what's good about it is that most people, you're being raised in a household and you're seeing your family doing something and you're just like, yeah, that's just what they do. And you're not understanding how you absorb that. I mean, my mom's a chef and everyone's like, do you know how to cook? I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, I can cook. And when I'm in the kitchen, I create these things. Well, how'd you learn how to do that? I'm like, and I sometimes don't know. I mean, like, I'm like, I don't know. I just know how to do it. It's because we've been absorbing all these things from our family members. So you've been watching it throughout your life. And now you're creating this. So what is the biggest challenge that you're seeing with or like organizations that you're working with? I mean, you're a creative and people think when they're thinking about creative, they're not thinking about video. They're not thinking about the content. They're not thinking about, I mean, the messaging and the storyboarding. So what is the biggest frustration, pain point? I'm not sure exactly which one I want to
work. I have it. So I think right now we're in a world that brands are become more human, right? Like it's great because like brands are conscious. People are more conscious of who they want to give their money to. But at the same time, it's tough because like there's like a mindset, right? Like I always talk about like this like division between creatives and marketers. Mm-hmm. Because there are marketers that they want to measure the water they drink, right? Like, and it's just like absurd. It's just like something that doesn't make any sense. Because like that translates that a lot of times that they undermine the creatives. Like they just, there's like a weird thought that like creatives are just like some sort of like button pushers. So like, yeah, just make me this design or just, and instead of like letting them participate in the conversation, because like there's not a metric or something. And that has been like, that's been a battle that I have, like that's kind of like the hill that I'm going to die on, because like I always kind of like antagonize that thought, because like I am a person that can provide value, not only like from the creative aspect, but also like understanding how the business could benefit from the creative thing. So when I see things that it's like, and this is based on like personal experiences, right, that it's like, we should do this thing, this campaign, whatever, like this is what's gonna happen, it's gonna cost us $5,000. I'm like, no, that's too much money. But then like a demand gen person is like, yeah, let's just send these like personalized cookies, it's gonna be $50,000. Yeah, great idea. And like literally you send the thing and they throw away the cookies and they make fun of you behind your back and like nobody's happy. So it's just like that weird thing of like people just need to like be like a little bit more grounded, because like there's like a, like I think like the tech, the B2B industry has like a bunch of huge egos. And just because like you know how to like read some like numbers from like a CRM or from like some sort of platform, that doesn't mean you are like more qualified to give an insight of what the business really needs.
So do you spend most of your time educating? I mean, like, mind you, look, I mean, the ego definitely comes from that concept of, I am in this industry, I know it like the back of my hands, or at least I think I know it like the back of my hands. And when someone that is coming in to add to that, I'm assuming that I know more than they do, but not really, because as a content creator, I'm a content creator, I always say, I need to know just a little bit just to be dangerous in every industry. So that way I can actually like do what I do best for you. So are you finding yourself spending more time educating your customers than actually walking in there and just doing the job?
It's a bit of a balance. I think, well, I am fortunate. For example, Alice, the company that I work for currently, they are awesome. Like they understand a lot of the stuff, and they let me like kind of provide a lot of like insight and thoughts and stuff. And a lot of the companies that I work for full time too, right? Like, but I think sometimes there's like a weird thing that like, that people don't gauge, that if you're going to pay a price for a service, it's because like you're paying for the years of expertise that somebody can do. So like, it's funny, like that people just think that because you pay a graphic designer for a logo and they like sketch it and did like this thing and it took them like an hour, you're not paying for like the hour, you're paying for like all the experience this person like accrued throughout the years to be able to do that in an hour. Yeah. So I think that's the problem for me, that it's like, I'm never going to be like, tell like somebody, it's like, no, you don't know how to do this, I'll do it better because like X, Y, and Z, because like, I don't know. Like, I'm not a numbers person by any means, but I'm going to like stand my ground and like not let them disrespect me either. Right? Like, because like, I think that's like the balance. It's important to educate people on like how long stuff takes. And I had a boss in my past company, Adrift. His name is Matthew Gemple, an amazing creative director, like one of the best guys that I've worked with and for. And he had this saying that it's like, everything takes an hour, like at least. Somebody like comes to you, he's like, can you do this quick thing? An hour. Can you like, and he like, kind of like that was something that stuck with me so much that like every time that somebody would like kind of like try to talk down on somebody on my team and being like, is this really gonna take 4 hours? And I'll be like, yeah, you shoot a video for an hour and then it takes you a bunch of time to like cut it down to whatever you want. Like that's the magic of film. Like, and I think that's the thing. Like sometimes you need to like be nice and kind of like be patient, but sometimes you just kind of like need to put your points straight on like the importance of what you do. And I think creatives need to do that better, because like I see a lot of creatives getting like underpaid or getting like undercharging for their work, because like they have that weird like self-consciousness of that what they do is not as important as other stuff.
So you work for a company, but you also have your small business. I mean, you're doing both. So you are actually my first person where like you have the job and yet you have your, yeah, like people don't even say side gig anymore. It's just like job part two.
Yeah.
Because everyone now has the bandwidth, and especially because of technology, we have the bandwidth of doing many, many things. So tell me about how, like, for an individual that is working from home right now, and they have their jobs. I mean, they get paid. They're like, they're happy with that, but it's not giving them the drive or the happiness that they want to, and they want to start their own business. Tell me about how that was for you. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Did the company come first, or did your business come first?
Yeah.
And what are the obstacles that you're dealing with doing both?
Yeah. So I'm like, to introduce that thought, like a quick story. So when I was younger, well, I'm still like, I was very into like punk rock music, like the DIY thing. And I would watch a lot of music videos growing up, like to like, oh my God, this is so cool. I really like this. And there's this director, Boston based, called Ian McFarlane. And I used to watch his videos when I was back home in Venezuela, like not. And when I moved to Boston, I was like, one day, I don't know why, like he came across on some social media and I reached out to him and we met for lunch and we talk and we still talk a bunch. And he told me something that it was super cool. And he was like, dude, like we are lucky because there's a lot of people out there that are like doctors or like engineers or like finance people that they are miserable because they don't like what they do. They just felt pressure into doing it, right? So for me, that was like a big thing of like knowing that I was doing the right thing. So for me, like my job is my priority just for a matter of like stability, right? Like I like having a job that pays me a salary that like I have benefits. I don't need to stress about a lot of stuff. And then with that money, I can fund my job part two, or I can fund my passions and like the stuff that I like to do. I love to make music. I love to like do a bunch of stuff and that's funded by my job. And that has allowed me to be more selective with the job that I do as a freelancer. Because like, it's not a matter of like, I just need to do whatever job comes across to like make money. It's more like, I like this thing. I feel passionate about this cause. I will do it. But the other thing is like, there's like this ramification that allows me to help other people. Because like I have a lot of friends that are kind of like in the industry and they have, you know, they have production companies or they do design or they do all this kind of stuff. So sometimes a company or a brand or a person reaches out to me and it's like, I have this gig and I'm like, well, I don't have the time or I don't want to do it or I can't do it. So like, here's this person that would like totally would like do an amazing work with what you want. And like, they're like 100% endorsed by me. Like they're going to deliver. And I think that's a part of like the community. And I think like the biggest part of like balancing both things is like prioritizing what's really the most important one for you. Because like for me, the most important thing is not be a freelancer. For me, the most important thing is to like make money to like do the stuff that really make me happy. That's as simple as that. And sometimes freelance gigs can make me happy because like I could be helping an organization that is doing something really cool to helping people and that's pro bono, or maybe like a brand or a band or something reaches out and they want to do something and like I'm super into the idea and it's like, well, I'll make some money out of the idea and that's cool. But it's just a matter of like prioritizing what's really important. Be thoughtful that like your work is your work, your freelance thing and or your side job is your side job. And like, you need to be conscious that like these people are paying you for like your work and your time and you cannot like let them down because you're doing other thing. Like that's first and foremost, the most important thing. And just kind of like this is something I'm working on, but like being organized, it's a thing. Like I just finished like this like studio space in my house. That kind of like, especially because like working from home is going to be like the norm for a while. Mm-hmm. Like I decided that I wanted to do it because I wanted to like explore other projects. I want to like do more educational content as a freelancer. I want to like do more stuff like educating people and what I was saying earlier. So yeah, I think it's prioritizing and organizing the two things.
All right. So you just like opened the door in regards of like working from home. So the pandemic happened. And I would love to hear your thoughts about what has the pandemic done for you and the industry, but also you're a global individual. I mean, how is it in Venezuela? How is it here for you working from home? Like, let's just like talk about what are the obstacles that you're dealing with? Like what are you learning?
Yeah, so I think, well, the thing related to home, it's a bit tough because like it's something that I call the immigrant mindset, that it's like you're 50% here, 50% there in your mind. Venezuela is a really tough country. Like in a normal day with the pandemic has been like super brutal. So it's been like constantly calling my parents, figure out if they're okay, calling friends, calling like just kind of be on top of stuff. Yeah. So that's that. But I, like, since I'm home, I have like, I can like just do it a bit more calm than if I was like in an office trying to call my mom all like frantic and stuff. Working from home has been interesting because like, I enjoy working from home, but I'm also the kind of person that likes to go to an office sometimes and like see people and interact with people. So my like extroverted self has struggled a bit with the pandemic. Mm-hmm. But also like it has taught me how to be resilient, right? Because like for my job, literally I cannot like go and take footage. Like it's not possible. So I've been like pushing other things. I've been pushing like more design stuff, more animation stuff. And it's kind of like the kind of situation that I'm just kind of like, I have the infrastructure to like just push and learn and I have the time to do it. So that has been the main thing. Like it's been super interesting because like I started working at Alice like literally the week before the quarantine started. So I went to the office my first day and that was it. Fortunately, I knew a few people from like past jobs that work there currently. So it was like, okay, at least I know people that I can like chat on Slack or whatever. But I had to like completely reinvent what I do like on a regular basis. And it has been a really cool experience. But at the same time, it's been like a draining process. I think I have gone through like a lot of ups and downs emotionally in how I feel about this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people are too, but I think it's making us realize what's important for us. Like if we want to be at home and like spend more time doing this thing, or if we want to find the right balance, if like I'll work from an office like 3 days a week and then work from home a couple of days, like I think that's a good thing, right? Like we like the world is kind of pushing us towards options and outcomes that were not in the mindset of a lot of people, because like companies are still like making people go to an office or spending crazy amounts of money in real estate. And now that's going to change. And I think that's like at least one of the few positive things that I could say about the situation, but it's tough. It's just like, it's adding, like, and I'm speaking for myself. It has added like a lot of like additional thoughts that I didn't know they were going to happen.
Well, even going a little bit more about that, how will your industry change because of the pandemic?
Well, I think people are going to start to push to learn new stuff because that's just going to be like the norm. There's going to be more like thoughtfulness on like how to approach a job. Like for example, like the film industry, they're like starting to do this like certifications for like safe sets. So people are like safe and healthy. And I think that's important. But I think the most important thing is that like people are like kind of like pushing to like learn new stuff, to be more resilient. It's because like before it was about like, oh no, we need to be in this place. We need to have this equipment and we need to like do this. Now it's like, well, we don't have any of the things above. So we need to just kind of figure out the next thing, how we see it like on TV, like how all the like the late night talk shows shifted to like this thing that they recorded with their phones, or like how SNL has done a bunch of skits through like Zoom. Like the world is evolving, and I think it's super awesome because like it's democratizing like technology and like making the play field even for a lot of people that didn't have that before.
I love that you just said that, because I've said on many occasions where it's very interesting, the person that was probably so stressed out being in the office, feeling that they had to compete with other people, they're working from home right now and they're probably excelling. And the person that was like literally just always there with the boss is needing that attention and not getting it, and probably not doing as well in the aspects of being at home. So I do love how that has changed. If you, in a perfect world, the pandemic, we have there's an insulin, not insulin, but like there's like a vaccination for Corona, and the world is getting a little bit back to the new normal. What does your first day look like? Or what do you anticipate your first day looking like?
I miss restaurants. I gotta say, I want to go to a restaurant and have an overpriced drink and with friends, and I want to have some incredible food that I didn't have to make or that didn't came like in a delivery situation. That's one part. I miss live music. So like the last activity that I did before like the pandemic, I played a live show at the Middle East here in Cambridge. And it was kind of like super crazy because like I was kind of like in between jobs and I was supposed to go on tour with this band from Venezuela. We're like touring the US. So I was like, all these plans were like, hell yeah. Like I'm finally doing this, like the touring musician thing that I always wanted to do. I play the show and then like the manager of the band is like, yeah, the rest of the shows are canceled. So like, it was just one of those things like, oh my God, okay. So I miss live music. So that's something that I'm looking forward to see how it's going to be in the new normal. And yeah, just kind of go back to like being with people. I miss people, like a few people, you know, like because like there are other things happening in the world that are not making me miss people. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, having that human connection face to face in person is something that I am craving. I've been craving for a while. And so overpriced drinks, hugs, and music and food.
It's kind of hugs. Oh, I can't wait for the hugs. That's something like the second I get to hug someone, I'm not letting go. I've already told many people, the second I get to hug you, it's going to be awkward because I'm not going to let go for a while. So just be prepared.
Yeah.
but what is it? What's the first day look like for work? And so for your business as well as for where you're working. So like the two places, what does that look like for you now in our new normal?
Yeah, I think my thought is like I'm going to transition to like kind of half and half, like 3 days a week I'm going to be in the office, then a couple of days at home. Like I'm just going to, you know, try to do that. Like the days are like, you know, if it's pouring rain, I'm just going to stay home and like stuff like that. But I think it's just going to be like the only thing that I see complicated, hard in the terms of my job is going to be scheduling. Like, we need to shoot this video, please. Can you, like, come to the office? Or, like, can you, like, do this thing? Like, I think that's going to be the only hurdle of the new normal for me. Mm-hmm. And for my business, like, I don't know. Like, I think it's not going to change that much. Because, like I said, like, I've been so selective in the stuff that I want to work as a freelancer that hasn't changed that much. Like, but I think, you know, like based on the experience that I have gotten and learning new stuff during the pandemic, I'm going to be able to provide other services that maybe I couldn't before. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be like an improvement on that side of my career. But you know, trying to see the best out of the situation.
I have to say that you did it very well in regards of there's so many people that are using this time extremely well to learn new things. And for you to do that, to know that that's adding value to what you'll do for your customers is fantastic. And that's number one. And number two, I love that you are, you're the highlight for me in regards to that second business, and where people just assume it's either I have a regular traditional job or I have a small business, and not realizing you could have the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Actually still use that skill set and have the best of both worlds. And you're growing your skill sets for both of the things that you're doing, which is like a fantastic thing. And it is, it's very empowering to be able to say, I get to choose what I want to do. And it's not the hindrance of money. People always like, I mean, I see this so often with small businesses, they take everything and they're like, I hate the customer. I hate what I'm doing. I hate. And I'm like, well, if we could just eliminate that hate word and put in the, find that thing that will literally pay you, so that way you're able to do what you are passionate about and doing it out of the goodness of your heart, not just because you need to do it, because you want to do it and it stays your passion.
Yeah. And there, like for me has been like, it was just like the right decision after, you know, my full-time jobs changed, more money came in, and it was just kind of like slowly making it an easier decision, because like while this was happening, I was like working with clients every once in a while and stuff, and like sometimes I had like really bad clients that I didn't want to work with because they were like rude, or they were like all these kind of things. And it got to a point that it's like, what? Like, and this is something that I joke with my friends a lot, but I was like, I didn't escape a dictatorship to like be treated like awfully by like a random person. Like, that's it. Like, so it got to a point that it's like, I am trying to do my best to not do stuff that I don't want to do because I'm going to be in a bad mood when I'm doing them. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like the conclusion for me.
No, it's true. It's 100% there. I mean, why do, again, you're right. You watch in, look, I mean, look, I see people all the time that they're just, again, that you could see the anger, but also the anger is affecting them. It's affecting their family. It's affecting their health. It's affecting you from top to bottom. And throwing in a pandemic, I go, isn't going to make the situation any better.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, mental health, I think, has been very compromised for a lot of people in this situation because, like, it's really tough. Like, if you are a parent and, like, you cannot take your kids to, like, kindergarten or school or whatever, and then you have to, like, work a job and do this thing, but at the same time you're doing, like, a thing that you don't like, that's tough. Yeah. Like, that's really tough. And I hope, this is like my real hope after like everything that it's happening in the world right now, is that we learn to be more compassionate, like with ourselves and with other people. Because like, if not, like if we didn't learn that in this situation, like we're screwed. Like, that's just as simple as that.
You haven't, you nailed it. And of course, now this leads me to my last question. If you were going to have an ask, for a personal ask and a professional ask of everyone and anyone that is listening to your conversation with me right now, what would be your personal ask and what would be your professional ask?
Well, my personal ask is to be compassionate and to be proactive and not reactive. The world right now is in a very tough place and it needs a lot from us. Like, it needs a lot from the good people. So that, be more compassionate, more thoughtful, more empathetic. And just kind of like try to like be open and see the whole picture and then pick and choose what aligns with your values. And then the professional ask is like to companies and brands and like be open-minded, right? Like, I think that like the pandemic with like that every email started with lines like in this trying times or all that kind of stuff, like that literally show how simple-minded a lot of like the like industries are, like that they couldn't come up with anything interesting. And I think that's the thing, like situations like this are the right times to give opportunities to people that can make a difference and do something new. So that's my thought.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I had just said to someone the other day where when the pandemic started, the amount of emails that I received, where I was like, I didn't even know I signed up for you, unsubscribed. I mean, the amount of things I unsubscribed with. But then when the injustice and the riots and the racial tension started, it was everybody had the same script. And that just was so disingenuous for me, where seriously, I mean, why? I mean, like, it was cut and copy. And it broke my heart. And that's like where it really, I mean, I had major anxieties, not because of what was happening, but everybody was literally doing the same thing. And the emails I would get, the phone calls I would get, everybody was saying the same three things. They were on script. And like, where's the originality? Where's the compassion? Where's it just like being genuine? And yeah. So as content creators, I think we see it very closely, where if you're going to say something that's truthful. Yeah. It's something that is going to speak to who you're speaking to in the most genuine way. But cut and copy, it's, people can see it. And they may not say something, but yeah. They
see it. I mean, yeah, I think, well, as content creators, but also as minorities, right? Like, we it's just like, I know when something is disingenuous because, like, it just feels like that. Like, I'm like, yeah, that's kind of fake. Cool. Like, but you know, I think the world will learn that lesson. Because like I said earlier, like people are being conscious on where they're spending their money. Mm-hmm. And like right now, it's a very thin ice for a lot of businesses that are doing very stupid stuff. Mm-hmm. So they...
I don't want to say, well, you know, I usually wouldn't sit there and say stupid stuff, ill-advised. But yeah, I'm just going to say some stupid stuff too. And, you know, the thing is, it's not hard to research. And again, people are moving too fast. And They have like so many people in their ears and just doing it. So I really hope that more creatives like you, more creatives like me and people in my world will always help to educate. Again, I always say, I can give advice. You don't have to take it, but I can give advice and I will give you a 360 why. And if you choose not to go that route, I just want you to have an answer why. Don't be surprised when someone else calls you out and you're like, oh, just have an answer. And I have 120% respect for you if you just have an answer of why you're doing something, but just don't say because everyone else is doing it, because that's not okay. And especially for creatives like us, it's not acceptable anymore.
Yeah.
But on that note, thank you for taking time out of your day. I know you're busy and I know you're like, I mean, look, I love all the equipment that you have. I mean, I'm jealous because I have just what I have and you have all this amazing equipment. So I do love that. I love what you do. I mean, your stuff is so impressive. And I just really appreciate you taking time just to talk.
No, I appreciate this. I always like to have great conversations and to spread the message. So I'm super happy that you invited me to this. Really, really grateful for that.
All right. Thank you. And I will talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right. Bye.